You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
I never meant cares about you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say, Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yes, somebody had my knobs turned down. Maybe I did that. Apologize. Good morning, family. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotel Family. I hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, and you needed to, you definitely needed to do it, it had to be done, I know you did it. But if you didn't, and your smart move was to stay home, stay safe, and if you went out there, you had a mask, you had gloves, you stayed your distance, you did all the things to protect yourself, because as you can see, because of the demonstrations that are ongoing, that a number of states and cities had an increase in COVID-19 infections and pretty soon more deaths. And so there are some that are contemplating not opening, and there are some that are just going to open up anyway, you know. I tell you, man, I hate that there's so much disinformation, so much confusion, so many controversies, so many conspiracies. It is what it is, and that makes it hard. And I would love to say I would try my best to send the information out that was factual, that was pertinent. That's why, in the midst of all of this, as it relates to COVID-19, I've stated unequivocally that it is killing people. And so therefore, whatever is being said, the bottom line is, what do I have to do to be safe? This pandemic has killed over 10 people that I know, that I personally know. Those previous flus and viruses that have gone around, and I probably didn't know anybody. But this one, and I'll probably know some more. So I'm saying, regardless of what you hear, the most important thing for you to do is to be safe. Use your intelligence. Use your rational thinking. Use your logical thinking. Think safety first. Think protection. Wear a mask when you're out. Don't shake anybody's hand. Give them a fist bump, or elbow, whatever you want to do. No hugging, unfortunately. I know I hugged a few people this past weekend when I saw them, when I went to the Black Dot Cultural Center and bookstore. Good brothers and sisters that I know. Hate what's happening, but believe me, because people who are asymptomatic, what that means, they show. They may have the virus in them, but it's dormant, and they don't show that they are sick. They're talking fine. They're moving fine. And yet, if you engage in conversation, it's possible that you can catch the virus. And if you have a precondition and you are of an older age, it could be devastating. So, brothers and sisters, please be safe. Please protect yourself. This is African Perspectives. Once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts, click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there'll be programs that are dated and titled that need to be dealt with, because I know my brother Kwaku has done a good job, but somehow I've got to go to the site and make some adjustments. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. All times that I'm going to give are Eastern times. You make the adjustments accordingly. African Perspectives. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Brother Wahad out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. Following Acres of Diamonds on Mondays is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 9. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. And then on Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, weekend edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council program that is hosted by my good brother, Brother Alfonso Watkins, who has been a guest on the program and will continue to be. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayemba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to his website and you'll see the two upcoming trips he has. November 20th through the 30th to South Africa. November 20th through the 30th to South Africa. And then December 24th to January 5th to Ghana. December 24th to January 5th, 2021 to Ghana. Both trips cost $3,700. You can make your deposit at $400, and then you can begin to pay on it in increments. You know, they have a payment plan, interest fee payment, interest free payment plan, and everything that you need is on the website AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything that you need. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, call him at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Renoka Rashidi, he's taking our people to the continent. many, many times. And Renoko has a trip upcoming to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. And then following that program, he has a tour. October 22nd through November 4th to Kemet. He's going to Kemet, October 22nd through November 4th. Yep, so. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org, brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Go to Habashah, H-A-B-E-S-H-A, HabashahIncorporated.org to check out all the great things that these brothers and sisters are doing here and on the continent. In Ghana, they're building the Kashi Project. They're building the Kashi Project. When constructed, Kashi will provide sacred space for researching the ancient technologies. Kashi will also host individuals and groups for African cultural exchanges. At its grand opening in October of this year, Kashi will be a destination for African people in the diaspora to reconnect and reclaim their legacies and will serve as a transitional space for those seeking to return to Africa. Donations, and they seek donations, will assist in developing a solar power infrastructure. We're counting on friends, family, and believe me, this they're doing the work. The buildings are up, as you see when you go to their website, HabashahIncorporated.org. They're doing the work. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she's open. She doesn't stay open that long as she did before, but the Greenbrier Mall, she's open until 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, she closes at 5. And that's the Medu Bookstore. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brother Gazemde Ajamu, I was there this past weekend, me and my brother Kweku. They had a little poetry and some conversation. A good group of brothers and sisters. It was a nice time. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to participating again in the dialogue and understanding what's happening in our community with our people. And of course, yes, he has his coffee bar up there. He's serving Cameroon Boyo, my favorite, and a variety of teas and so forth. That's Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Wadadas, healthy marketing juice bar located in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg, right across the street from the West End Mall, right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I'm making sure that you know right here in Atlanta, in the West End, Wadadas, healthy marketing juice bar located in the West End. The phone number is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. 1635. They have a variety of juices and, oh man, shakes, and not shakes, smoothies and, the oh man, sandwiches and tea and soups. So check it out. Also, too, they have a caterer in on weekends with vegan food. And, of course, they have vendors. One of the vendors is We Buy Black. That's right. The We Buy Black that used to be in the Greenbrier Mall right in front of the Medu Bookstore is now at the Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, so you can buy those products right there. You can buy them right there. They also have the athletics, the brother who has the sportswear with the African themes of the Moors, the Olmecs, the Rebels, the Herus, the Zulus, the Dogon Starseed. He deserves to be supported as well. And so check those things out. Cafe Ulu. I apologize. There is no Cafe Ulu. That's Us Lifting Us. The Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us Lifting Us in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. They have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Us Lifting Us. On Blog Talk Radio, go to blog online. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is called Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night. If you just want to call and listen or you have something to say, dial this number at 9 p.m. on Thursday. 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Aiti, my good sister, Sister Gabrielle Real, is doing outstanding work in the northeast portion of Haiti. She deserves to be supported. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. And see for yourself the outstanding work that they are doing. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Ackerman Institute. That's right, the Ackerman Institute. They truly deserve to be supported, as Brother Baba Barudi and Sister Ya Barudi have been doing outstanding work of educating our young people as warriors. And you can make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, go to Cash App or PayPal and put in the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donations to Ackerman Institute. The Complementarity Conference, the Ackerman Institute's sixth annual Complementarity Conference will be Saturday, July 18th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's an online program, and it's $10 per person, and I'll give you more details as the program approaches, and hopefully maybe have Sister Ya come on and talk about it a little bit. And definitely want to get Baba Barudi back on before the summer's out. Well, the summer ain't even here yet, is it? Summer starts this weekend. Summer starts this weekend. Yeah. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 14th. I wish I could wrap my people up and fly away with them. Ida B. Wells. What makes being African such a difficult concept and way of life is not so much the problem of identifying who, as a people, we are in thought and practice, as it is in trying to find ways to instill and implement these uncompromised core African traditions in their contemporary, insane, self-absorbed, anti-African reality. To make ourselves take the logical steps backward in order to progressively and more beneficially move forward from a position of African power and knowing is beyond the cognitive possibilities most of us in this place and time. Nonetheless, for those of us who has consistently made the choice to be African, embracing all that this means, no matter what time or place we exist in, direction requires that we seriously reconceptualize what we have misguidedly learned to believe is African because we have been forced to look at our ancestors through a Eurocentric cultural lens. Serious definitions of what our ancestors were and were not as human beings requires fearless, willing minds, minds which are truly open to the earnest answers to some very weighty questions about exactly who we should and should not be. In that African intellectual space, there is no fence to straddle, no gray area. There are only others. Lies and our truth. There are only others. Lies and our truth. Affirm, I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors. Affirm,
I define what it means to be African only through the mind of my ancestors. Ashe. June 15th. There is a danger that wakes up in you when you are a child, and it builds up and determines the political consciousness of the black man. Sister Winnie Mandela. Europeans are quite clear as to the threat of an ever-rising consciousness to their empire. They militarily operate in a fashion to systematically subvert, reduce, and, where possible, permanently remove this threat. They operate on the principle of reducing threats by removing their sources. If there are no dissent, there is no threat. And even though their public displays of this violence against humanity are beyond moral reason, covertly, they do even more damage in their effort to gain a future numerical advantage. They know what they do now will determine where they'll find themselves later in the global game of power and privilege. It's called strategic planning. Every successful military force does this. Think about the fact that when a young African man or woman is murdered, he or she is not the only one murdered. Every individual that person was ever to produce through the end of life of his or her generations is murdered. Oh, that's deep. In the long run, this is a hidden genocidal accelerant, because this intergenerational genocide does not show up in the statistics. Here, genocide is not even detected or defined as such, because those who are murdered were never born. Those who work this evil against us know to poison the roots. Affirm, I am politically awake. Affirm, I am politically awake. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I tell you, sometimes you read that and you just automatically feel and sense how crazy this world is. That's why what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told and who's doing the telling. It's not even what you want to believe. It's who is doing the telling. What do you know? What do you do for yourself? What do you know of yourself? Philosophy, what you think. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior pattern. Excuse me. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think. It ends with what you do, because it's what you do, your actions. But it begins with what you think. And if you think that our people and our women are bitches and hoes, how you treat them. If you think our men are no fit and lazy and not intelligent, how you treat them. It begins with what you think, your philosophy. Who determines that? Where did you get the information? What did you read? What do you listen to? What do you watch? That's why, dear brothers and sisters, you should infuse yourself with the knowledge of yourself on a 24/7. And every time something comes at you, look at it objectively. Look at it critically. Analyze everything. Analyze everything. Today, there's a service for my good brother and friend, Dr. Conrad World in Chicago. They have a video service today. And he was born on August 15th in 1941. He made his transition June 3rd. His Ancestral Realm celebration is today. It's going to be at the Dr. Jacob Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies, to Dr. Jacob Babajetty. Man, I have a lot of good memories of that center, a lot of things done. It's right now, 11 o'clock, so that's, I'm here. I would love to go online and check out what's happening, what is being done. The service is going to be officiated by Reverend Al Sampson. There's a family processional, the viewing of his body. Of course, there's going to be drums. I remember Baba Jetty's. He wasn't at the center, though. Baba Jetty was at a church in Chicago, but it was African. Just like Francis Homegoing was at a church in D.C., was African. Drums and so forth. Libation's going to be poured by Brother Larry Crowe, a good brother. Brother Larry Crowe is a good researcher. He's part of the North Central region of ASCAC. North Central region of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. See, I met Conrad in a number of organizations that I've been involved in. Well, the first one is in COBRA, the National Coalitions for Blacks for Reparations in America, that was being held at the then Northern Illinois University of Inner City Studies. And that's like the A's, I believe. And then I became a member of the National Black United Front, NBUF, which, of course, Conrad was the chair of NBUF, and I was the chair of the Milwaukee chapter of National Black United Front. And then, of course, ASCAC and so forth. And, yeah, Conrad. After opening prayer by Al Sampson, then there'll be Lift Every Voice and Sing, sung by Theophilus Reed, and then a pledge to the red, black, and green. The pledge to the red, black, and green, our African liberation flag. Here's to the whole of it. Here's to the whole of it. The red, black, and green waving so high. And then there's going to be prayer in brief words by Rufus Calhoun. And a biographical statement by Toriano Granger, my good brother Toriano. Last time I seen him, he had cut his fro off. He had a cold fro. He had cut his fro off. And then his daughter, Michelle Lanier, is going to give a tribute, both his daughters, Femi and Michelle, Dr. Femi. And then a brother's tribute, Oscar Warwell, will give a tribute. And then my good brother and Brother Conrad's godson, when I first came here, moved here to Atlanta, Brother Molly Davis, Attorney Molly Davis, who's done outstanding work here, a good brother here, a good brother. And that's Conrad's grandson, Molly Davis. He's going to give words and a tribute to Conrad. And then some acknowledgement and resolutions. Be read by Donnie Trotter. And then words of comfort. And closing prayer, once again, will be Al Sampson. And then final viewing. That is today. That is happening right now. Happening right now in Chicago. And what a beautiful, beautiful brother. Wish I'd have got him on my program before. He was always talking, I'm too busy, I'm doing this. In fact, he was trying to finish his book, his memoirs of the struggle that he has been involved in for 50 years. Because he goes back into the 60s early. He has been in the forefront of African liberation struggles in the States here, particularly Chicago. You know, it's going to be missed by my good friend, Brother Conrad Worrell. I saw this article that I'm gonna get off into. And I'm gonna get off into it because, you know, we see it all the time now. It's all over the place. And that is Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Whose hashtag Black Lives Matter, these sisters turned into a global movement. A global movement. And we'll go online to their website. I suggest that you do it as well. Go online to Black Lives Matter website. And check out what Black Lives Matter is about. I'm going to do that as well. I'm asking you, our listeners, to chime in later and give us your perspective of Black Lives Matter. And tell me what you feel about Black Lives Matter and the work that they're doing and the direction they're going. Patricia's Collars is her name, I believe. Alicia Garza and Opal Tometi. Started with social media in the wake of the non-guilty verdict for a man who killed a 17-year-old, Trayvon Martin, and prompted a cultural awakening. So when that verdict came down, I was in Dallas attending National Black United Front meeting. That's right. I was attending a National Black United Front meeting in Dallas when the verdict came out. Yeah. And that was a Saturday. The verdict came out on a Saturday. And at the meeting, Erykah Badu was at the meeting. She lives in Dallas, I believe. She was at the meeting. Brother Thomas Muhammad, good brother there in Dallas, was our point person. And Sister Dr. Cynthia McKinney was also in attendance. I'm not sure if, he wasn't there. Okay. Yeah, Sister Cynthia McKinney, because I remember her making comments that evening on television when after the verdict had been read and they were demonstrating. They had a demonstration taking over one intersection there in Dallas. After the verdict was read, that he had been acquitted, you know, that he could call and say that there's somebody who looks suspicious. Well, you don't do nothing. You just stay right there. You know, we'll handle it. Then he hangs up and says, nah, they always get away with it. Not this time. They always get away with it. And so this young man, Trayvon Martin, having just returned, who was returning from the convenience store, having bought some tea and some Skittles, iced tea and some Skittles, on his way back to his father's apartment, is approached by Zimmerman. I'm not sure how Zimmerman approached him, but I'm quite sure it wasn't respectful. Words were probably engaged, and the next thing you know, it was on. And Trayvon Martin was kicking his ass. Trayvon Martin had every right to protect himself. And once Zimmerman was losing, as he said, he hit my head hard against the concrete ground. He pulls a gun out and shoots him, kills him. And this system found that to be justified based upon a stand your damn ground law. Reasonable suspicion and probable cause. He shoots and kills him. Had Zimmerman listened to the dispatcher when he told him, no, dude, don't do that. Stay right there. We got a handle on it. We'll be right there. If he would have did that. But like he said, no, they always get away with it. Not this time on my watch. And as his ass was getting kicked, he decides to pull a gun and shoot him and kill Trayvon Martin. And then the courts decide that it was justified on the stand your ground law. What about Trayvon Martin? Didn't he have a right to stand his ground? Yeah. I said, I was in Dallas when at the National Black United Front conference in Dallas when the verdict was read. And I'm like, man. No. The cops and those vigilantes always get away with it. We don't. On February 26, 2012, a 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was shot dead while on his way back to his house. He was visiting in a gated community in Sanford, Florida. A month later, Barack Obama, making his first public remarks about it, said, if I had a son, he looked like Trayvon. A full investigation into what happened was imperative. George Zimmerman, the man who pulled the trigger, was charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter. He didn't even testify at his trial, but the defense maintained that he shot Trayvon in self-defense. He had spotted a teen walking while patrolling the area in his own vehicle as a volunteer neighborhood watch leader. Zimmerman claimed Trayvon punched him, and when he got out of his car and banged his head against the sidewalk, causing Zimmerman to fear for his life, there was something off about him, Zimmerman had told police per his recording played in the court. There was something about him. There was something off. The prosecution argued that Zimmerman saw Trayvon, decided he looked suspicious, followed him for a while, got out of his car, and had the upper hand when he shot him. On July 13th, 2013, Zimmerman was killed. Excuse me. How did I read that one? Zimmerman was acquitted of all charges. Appalled by the verdict, these three sisters, have a hard time pronouncing this sister's name, Patessa Colliers, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tomete, took action. Thought it tends to feel that certain movements spring fully formed into the pages of newspapers, into the cable news headlines, and into the Twitter feeds. They all started out as an idea. They just don't. It's an idea. At the thought that originates in a person's brain, which perhaps then becomes a hashtag or a t-shirt slogan, or sometimes even an actual call to action, or in the case of Black Lives Matter, all of the above, and a cultural reckoning. Black Lives Matter. The one thing I remember from that evening, other than crying myself to sleep that night, was the way in which, as a black person, I'm going to use the word black, because you know me, I don't like the word black. We're not black. Black is a color. It's an adjective. We're Africans. We're Africans. I felt incredibly vulnerable, incredibly exposed, and incredibly enraged, Garza, then the special projects director of a National Domestic Workers Alliance in Oakland, California, said in recalling the day that she saw the Zimmerman verdict pop up on Facebook. She was in a local bar with her husband, and they were surrounded by people disheartened by the news. She told The Guardian in 2015, seeing these black people leaving the bar, it was like we couldn't look at each other. I'm hip. I agree. He was like, damn. It was just like when the Rodney King verdict. I was in San Jose with a friend of mine. We went up to Monterey. And we were in some shop or something like that. And heard the verdict being stated over a radio program or TV. Something they had at the nice little boutique or whatever it was in Monterey. And I told my friend, listen, we got to go. I don't want to be around no Caucasians at this moment. We got to go. Let's go ahead and drive back to San Jose. We got to go. I don't even want to. Gaza went home and posted a Facebook writing, I continue to be surprised at how little Black Lives Matter. She concluded with, Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter. Colliers, an artist, teacher, and prison reform activist from Los Angeles, reposted Garza's message, adding the hashtag Black Lives Matter. The next day, Garza and Colliers, friends for 10 years since meeting at a conference for activists, talked about what they could do to actually affect change, to remind the world that what happened to Trayvon Martin wasn't some sort of freak occurrence, but that his death and countless others were linked by a societal dysfunction embedded in this nation's very fabric. And I think for me, what I try to do on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is help us understand what's happening and why it happens, to give us an African-centered analysis, a critique, an understanding of what's going on. Not black, African-centered. There's a difference. It's just like with Black Lives Matter. They're calling out Black Lives Matter, that our lives matter. And they're not calling Black Lives Matter to transition from the insanity that we experience on a daily basis to a higher level. They're calling Black Lives Matter that we should be involved in everything that happens in this country is just as much as ours as it is theirs. And so be there, therefore, to reserve. Yeah. Before I read some more of this, let me get some other callers involved in this discussion if they want to be. 404-573-404.
Good morning,
family. Hey, Queen, you want to say something about this? You want to wait?
Yeah, I'm going to hold on. Going to hold off. I mean, and I'll just wait and listen for now. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Queen. My good sister, Queen Ali. 267-267. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie.
Hey, brother.
I'm going to add to the conversation, Brother Oshie. That Black Lives Matter is nothing more than a parasitic queer. If you go to their website, they basically tell you it's a queer movement.
Yeah.
I mean, led by three lesbians that belong to other organizations that were lesbian oriented. And they tell you what their main objective is. If you're looking for some African-centered stuff, then BLM is not it. It's a parasitic movement set up by none other than George Soros. The video I sent you yesterday, you got to look at that, brother, because it even had Darren Seals on there when he was talking to another person, telling them, like, you know, like, I don't know who these people are, but they're homos. They're homos. He didn't really call them that. He called them the other word, but I don't want to get Time for Awakening in trouble.
That's
but he was saying, like, they showed up. And he said, and then once they got the funds, they took over the whole movement.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're parasites, man. And we shouldn't even be, we should be calling them out instead of giving them props. You know, our people are, and you know what? I thought that was an ignorant slap in the face. That acronym, Black Lives Matter, of course our lives matter. What the hell? Who the hell are we telling that to? Are we still looking for some kind of direction out of the Yoruba? Are we looking for that? Because of course our lives matter. That's a slap in the damn face for anybody to even say some crap like that.
I hear you.
I mean, really, we need to really look. Go ahead. We really need to look at their website.
Yeah, I'm on their website.
Really find out what they're about, man.
Yeah.
Because I've looked it over, and it says they are queers.
Right.
That's who they are for. So to say that blacks are queers, that's a damn insult, man.
Well,
so I just had to, like, because it seemed like you was propping them up, like a worldwide. Yeah, it's a worldwide. As a matter of fact, it's Gay Pride Month, and they're like trying to leech on to the protest now.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
well, no, what I wanted to do, Ralph, is give the historical information. I've been on their website. I've read some things that are just very disturbing to me. It's almost like saying, you know, we can do this without men. We're trying to change the dynamic.
Right.
We're trying to change the so-called focus on the traditional European family structure of male, female children, you know, and they're trying to direct it in a different way. So I'm going to get off into that, particularly
All right. You had me worried for a second, brother. I'm like,
Well, you know,
we got time for awakening. We got to come out of our slumber and realize the truth about these different so-called organs. They're a parasitic movement sucking the blood off of our young men that have been killed to give more props to the queer movement, man. And we got to call that out for what it is. It's a disgrace.
I'm going to go back on hold, brother. All right, man.
Peace. Talk to you.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, Ralph, don't go nowhere. We'll be some more conversation, okay? All right. Appreciate you, Ralph. Let me go to a break. We're approaching the top of the hour. Go to a break. And this is African Perspectives. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to continue this conversation on Black Lives Matter and give some perspective on that. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. I still hang around. Neither lost nor found. Hear the lonely sound of music in the night. Nights are always bright. That's all that's left for me. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition with Dr. William Rogers from 4 to 6, and then from 6 to 8, the Black Reality Think Tank Sankofa, the Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. On the website, Black Lives Matter, you can go to blacklivesmatter.com. On their website, and you could read and see for yourself what they say about themselves and who they are. And what. Well, of course, it was founded in 2013 in response to the acquittal of the murder of Trayvon Martin. Black Lives Matter Foundation Incorporated is a global organization in the U.S., the U.K., and Canada, whose mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on black communities by the state and vigilantes. By combating and countering acts of violence, creating space for black imagination and innovation, and centering black joy, we are winning immediate improvements in our lives. We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. We also believe that in order to win and bring as many people with us along the way, we must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in the black communities. We must ensure we are building a movement that brings all of us to the front. We affirm the lives of black queer and trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all black lives along the gender spectrum. Our network centers those who have been marginalized within the black liberation movements. We are working for a world where black lives no longer systematically targeted for demise. We affirm our humanity, our contributions to this society, and our resilience in the face of deadly oppression. The call for black lives to matter is a rally cry for all black lives striving for liberation. I don't know about that. Because when you want to be liberated, you want to be get out of something. I don't think really black lives matter. I mean, this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And I don't see that it has something that Black Lives Matter is really pulling for liberation. I don't know. Maybe it's liberation in terms of just what Black Lives Matter is about. It's not necessarily in terms of what liberation would look like and is for African people. Because Black Lives Matter is not just about African people. Yeah. 4 years ago, what is now known as the Black Lives Matter Global Network began to organize. It started out as a chapter-based, member-led organization whose mission was to build local power and to intervene when violence was inflicted on black communities by state and vigilantes. In the years since, we've committed to struggling together and to imagining and creating a world free of anti-blackness, where every black person has the social, economic, and political power to thrive. Black Lives Matter began as a call to action in response to the state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. Our intention from the very beginning was to connect black people from all over the world who have shared desire for justice to act together in their communities. The impetus for that commitment was and still is the rampant and deliberate violence inflicted on us by the state. Enraged by the death of Trayvon Martin and the subsequent acquittal of his killer, George Zimmerman, and inspired by the 31-day takeover of the Florida State Capitol by Power U and the Dream Deferrers and the Dream Defenders who took to the streets a year later, we set out together on Black Lives Matter Freedom Ride to Ferguson in search of justice for Mike Brown and all those who had been torn apart by state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. Forever changed, we returned home and began building an infrastructure for Black Lives Matter Global Network, which even in its infancy has become a political home for many. Ferguson helped to capitalize a movement to which we've all helped give life to. Organizers who call this network home have ousted anti-black politicians, won critical legislation to benefit black lives and change the terms of debate on blackness around the world. Through movement and relationship building, we have also helped capitalize other movements and shifted culture with an eye toward dangerous impacts of anti-blackness. These are the results of our collective efforts. The Black Lives Matter Global Network is as powerful as it is because of our membership, our partners, our supporters, our staff, and you. Our continued commitment to liberate and liberation for all black people means we are continuing the work of our ancestors and fighting for our collective freedom because it is our duty. Every day we commit to healing ourselves and each other and to co-creating alongside comrades, allies, and family a culture where each person feels seen, heard, and supported. We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences and commonalities. We work vigorously for freedom and justice for black people and by extension, all people. We intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative, not depleting. We are unapologetically black in our positioning in affirming that black lives matter. We need not qualify our position. To love and desire freedom and justice for ourselves is a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. We see ourselves as part of the global black family, and we are aware of the differences and the different ways we are impacted or privileged as black people who exist in different parts of the world. We are guided by the fact that all black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disabilities, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or local. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflective and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by the trans antagonistic violence. We build a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. We practice empathy. We engage comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their contacts. We make our space family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so they can mother in private, even as they participate in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure required by supporting each other as extended family members and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intent of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual, unless he or she or they disclose otherwise. We cultivate intergenerational and communal network free from ageism. We believe that all people, regardless of age, show up with the capacity to lead and learn. We embody and practice justice, liberation, and peace in our engagements with one another. What Black Lives Matter believe. Let me get some other folks in on this conversation. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Oshi.
Good afternoon.
I see that you are addressing and dealing with the Monkey Man, Twisted Sister folks. I'm going to be kind today. I think Ralph said it all. As a black man, African man, they're not part of my agenda. I'm not going to support them in any way. I think they're just using this time as a front to put forward their agenda. Which, you know, in reality, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, let's call it for what it is, though.
Mm-hmm.
Let's don't make it seem like they're looking for equal equality with black men and black women and that our lives are that greatly important. You know, this is just a basic homosexual agenda of pushing forward their right to be able to do what they do. It's unfortunate that that small group is now taking blacks in America from second-class citizens down to maybe fourth-class citizens because of how they have jumped in front of us in regards to basically everything on the topo pole. So, I mean, it's just unfortunately that we allow ourselves to be played, manipulated, used, and abused by degenerates. And, you know, you got to give the degenerate credit. He's smart enough to know who to play, who to manipulate, what to do in order to move forward his agenda. Maybe we as a people should figure something out in regard to how we're going to move our agenda forward based upon the template that the Monkey Man and the Twisted Sisters have set forward over the last, I would say, 10 years that have gotten them to this point now to where it's like they, like I said, they done turned us into fourth-class citizens. So, I mean, it's just sad, bro. That's all I can say. It's just sad. It's disappointing. It's hurtful. It's a lot of things that, unfortunately, we are in the situation to be treated like. But, you know, as my brother Jim Brown said to Richard Pryor.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do, Rich?
What you gonna do?
That's all you can say. What you gonna do, Rich? You know, what black folks gonna do? Yeah. What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
What are we gonna do to place ourselves in a position whereas we could defend our right to being men and women?
Yeah.
To being who we were put on this earth to be. A free and sovereign people. I mean, you know, you can't be in a society to where you have Twisted Sisters and Monkey Men and degenerates above the people who basically built this country, who made this country what it is. Now, the sickness is the Yoruba has always been that. But now what they have metamorphed into is a mixed blend of degeneracy. You have blacks, Hispanics, Chinese, a whole group of what one would have to at some point call a nationality that are now doing what they're going to be able to do in this country. I mean, they're going to be bigger than the Hispanics, the blacks, the Asians. That group is going to be identified as the power makers in America next to the white man. And everybody talking about the Hispanics and other groups. But it's the Monkey Man Twisted Sisters that are running this show. Lord have mercy.
Well, Okay.
Think about that, though.
Yeah.
That's deep. If you think about it, they collectively going to come together and classify themselves as a group. They may go as far as to call themselves an ethnicity if you mess around and let them put forward the narrative. So now you're going to have groups in the country, the Black, the Hispanic, the Chinese, the Mexicans, the Irish, the Jamaicans, and the Monkey Man Twisted Sister homosexual. I love it. Where else could you see this at? And think about it. Collectively, they're going to have more power, if they already don't, than any other group in this country. But people don't see that. People don't understand that. But that's what's happening. Wait, it's coming. It's coming, brother. They're going to be identified just like Chinese, Puerto Ricans, Blacks, and others going to be identified, Oshi. You think I'm not serious? You think what I'm saying is not about to happen? Look where they've come over these amount of years. They changed the minds of people. You're dangerous when you can change the minds of people. When you can make filth, decadency, acceptable. Is that not something strange to you, O?
Well, I'm going to talk about that, Jay. I'm going to give a perspective on that. So,
but it's deep, though.
I mean, you got to think about,
how do you get to a point to where as you've been able to change a narrative based on a behavior to the point to where as it's so dominant within the culture? I mean, just think about... You remember my main man, one of my favorite TV characters ever, Archie Bunker. Do you remember the things Archie used to say? Now take it into from when Archie was doing his due to today and what it is today. Can you imagine somebody saying the things today that Archie has said back in the day and getting away with it, even with the meathead trying to correct them? I mean, it's deep, brother. It's deep. They are now in the position with the Supreme Court ruling today that you cannot fire a person because they are a Monkey Man and a Twisted Sister.
Well, I agree with that. Cool. I agree with that.
Yeah, but you gotta take in...
I agree.
The context.
Cause see.
No, the context is this. Think about this. If I hire somebody and I don't know that they're gay or homosexual, and I'm against gay and homosexuality, you're now saying to me that I don't have the right to not work with them, to fire them, when I did not know that is who and what they were.
Well, see,
so now should we put on the application if you're gay or not, like you put
well,
on
see,
your
to
black,
me,
white,
to me, Jay, to me, your sexual orientation is your business. That's how I look at it. In the struggle for African liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty, there is no homosexual plank in our discussion. That's smooth. You don't come to this struggle talking about, well, I wanted to talk about, you know, the LGBTQ and any damn other alphabet else. No. That's not the issue here. The issue is African self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That's the issue. Because you have chosen to have an affection for the same sex, that's your business. That's your business. But if you
but
come here...
integrated into it, brother.
No.
That's where y'all missed the point at.
See,
They integrate their culture into it.
No, what I'm saying to you, that's just like what I've just read to you about what they believe. I just read to you what they believe. And obviously what they believe is neutralizing or dismissing the male dominance that has happened, particularly in Western society, because Western society is very hardcore male dominating. That is its history. And that is part of its evolutionary development. And so what Black Lives Matter is saying is that we're not going along with that. You got to have the man at the head of the household requirement and so forth. No, we're saying there's alternatives to family structures. That's what they're saying. I'm saying for African people, there's always been a complementarity. There's always been that from our very beginning, innately we understood that we need each other. Men and women, we need each other. And so in that true sense, there should be a mutual respect for each other. One of the things that the European, particularly the Greeks, did not understand when they came to study at the feet of African people was how we treated our women. It's how we treated each other. And how there was a symbiotic relationship, a complementarity between men and women. When you look at the artwork, the medunature, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, when you look at things that were carved, there's a man and a woman side by side. The Greeks, in European development, there's no connection with women. They could give less than a rat's ass about women. They relegated women to object. So from that natural drive for intercourse, that was all they really cared about. Otherwise, they said a dog is a man's best friend. Whew, I won't go there. But what I'm saying, but what I'm saying here is that in that human development, women were ostracized. Look what happened in Greece. When they had the Olympics in Greece, they were naked. Women were not allowed to participate or view. They weren't even allowed to view them. Women were alienated and turned off. Women went to where? The island of Lesbos. The island of Lesbos. That came into prominence just a few years ago when that mass migration, particularly from out of Syria, trying to cross into the Mediterranean to get to Europe. And there was on the news a number of people, immigrants on these boats on the island of Lesbos. And I was like, wow, okay. Because I knew about the island of Lesbos many, many years ago, talking about this formation. Talking about how humans developed. And so when you look at their artwork, when you look at their statues, you see them, men with boys and little girls. Pedophilia is serious. There is a pedophilia ring. There is a pedophilia ring with the United States, Britain, and Australia. It's serious. So that's the mindset. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Is that you, Queen? You want to say something?
Yes,
go ahead.
Queen, I do. I want to say something. I see this Black Lives Matter movement in relative to how the civil rights movement was usurped and the Caucasian women prospered, flourished, and stole our legacy, as well as all other minority nationalities except for the Native Americans. They did not flourish under the Civil Rights Movement as well. So I'm seeing this Black Lives Matter movement as usurping and grasping the once again human rights movement and the Black Lives Do Matter. it is unfortunate for me to see that. How did they prosper? How did they flourish? How did they grow? And how did they grasp the minds of so many? It's because they showed up. They organized and they showed up. And they built their movement off of the blood and the sacrifice, once again, of our Black men and Black women. They built their movement on an artificial perspective, well, on a lie, okay. On a lie.
Well,
and they grasped the minds of our young people. They showed up in support of them. So that's how they got to, as I can see it, as where they are today, because they showed up. So where are we? We need to take a lesson and be in the forefront once again, and don't let them steal this movement from us.
Well, I can see where the three sisters were looking at what was happening. Thank you, Queen. We're looking at what was happening, and then decide, and it just became out of spontaneity. Damn, don't our lives matter? You're just killing us on the street like we animal. Our lives matter. Black lives matter. Bam. Hashtag. But I agree with you. There was a lot of others. It was just like the Women's March. And you know, the Women's March where the Caucasian women were kind of upset because of the American African women were trying to put something into that Women's March flavor that they didn't go for, because the Women's March was seriously lesbians, seriously homosexual. But these three paragraphs pretty much sum up what the Black Lives Matter movement, because that influence from the Women's March are into Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is not structural for African family. It says, we make our spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so they can mother in private, even as their participation in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure required by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively cared for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. We're our fathers. To the degree we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. That is not Western. That is human. That is human. It was Europeans. It was because of the human development that started this particular movement. Homosexuality is not a worldwide situation. It is now, because Caucasians went around the damn world. I mentioned before Brother Manahochi, who moved here to Atlanta. Met him in Milwaukee. In fact, his wife gave me my name. Oshiemi Adelabu. And he made his transition while he was living here in Atlanta. But he stated that, I have studied African. Yes, he was a great man, Brother Manahochi. Baba Manahochi. He said, I have studied African cultures. In all of my studies, I have not found homosexuality to be a part of that culture. That homosexuality is a part of European culture that has been imposed upon Africans and have been imposed upon other parts of the world, where Europeans have come in and begin to dominate. That's why I'm saying to you, in the liberation struggle for African people, I ain't talking about no damn Black Lives Matter. the liberation struggle, and they use the word liberation, it's offensive to me, but in that struggle for African people, the family matters. A husband, a wife, and children, a man, a woman, and children, and extended families matter. That is the history of Africa and African people. There was always an understanding and a respect, because in Africa, if the man got ridiculous with the woman, then the woman could say, you know, I bump you. I can go down the road. There's some good fig trees. There's a good, some good other brothers and sisters. I'll just take this from you. You know, and they could just go on down the road. She can just take her kids and go on, bump him. But in Europe, in the development of that ice age, that ice box, women had to acquiesce to men. Hold on, Queen. I got you. Hold on. Thank you. They had to acquiesce to men. If she didn't like the treatment, she wasn't going to go outside. It's cold out there. It's dark out there. There's all kind of animals out there. So she just had to capitulate. She had to say, I'll get whatever the treatment. Abusive, verbally, physically, sexually. She had to acquiesce. But in African society, that's why there was a complementarity. That's why there was a symbiotic relationship between men and women, and the understanding that you come together to build family. I say it all the time, even in my introduction. The reason why we don't have good community life is because we don't have good family life. Our community is still very much in disarray. Number one, because particularly here, but even on the continent, the influence of Europeans is detrimental to African people. Queen, go ahead, dear.
Yes, Brother Oshi Ashe, and I agree with you 1,000%. We cannot do this alone. We cannot make it without our men. And the homosexuality ideology has no place in the African liberation movement worldwide. Even like you said, in some African cultures, if you show up homosexual, you will not thrive. You will not survive, because it is unacceptable and unnatural in our culture. The Black Lives Matter movement, with its undergirding and its hidden agenda, has no place in the African liberation movement. Has no place. They are still human, and we recognize them and respect them as humans, whatever their orientation. Well, I can't quite agree with it, because it diversified and it negates the natural symbiotic relationship between male and female, and it leads to degradation of the culture. Let's just face it. So it has no place, that homosexuality plank, in the African liberation agenda. It has no place.
Thank you.
But the point I'm trying to make is the organizational impact that they have had. Let's not get away from the organizational impact and face that has been put upon this movement. And the question here lies, how did they usurp it? How was it grafted into their movement? How did we let our movement get grafted into theirs? We must reorganize and face this fact that they have captured the world attention under a lie.
under a false agenda, I should say. So we have to really, you know, take a lesson and show up. We do. And that's what I wanted to say.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Queen. Thank you. That's right. We got to proclaim who we are. 447-447. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening to you, Brother Oshie, and all your listeners. Absolutely on point. Absolutely fantastic. How are you, Brother Oshie?
I'm doing well, Paul. It's good to hear from you, man. How have you been?
Yeah, well, you know, under this house arrest.
Yeah.
I'm just glad to say I'm alive. I've got ear in my windpipe, and I've got ear in my lungs, so I'm alive, and
right
I can
on.
Do it, you know.
That's right.
I can do better, so I must do better.
That's right. How is Black Lives Matter? How is Black Lives Matter being viewed in the UK in our struggle? How is Black Lives Matter being viewed? And I know that there are movements around the country, around the world, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
well, you know, Brother Ochi, it's a funny thing when you ask me that question, because obviously it'd be pretty daft of me to try and speak for everybody, because, you know, everybody thinks differently. Mm-hmm. But bearing in mind that I have the privilege to listen to these great radio platforms across the pond, I get an insight into, or I can say I get a heads up before most people as mm-hmm. to what's taking place from the grassroots. So I hear, you know, a lot of things which people are getting secondhand information. So they perceive what they see. You understand? Whereas I get the information from the grassroots, from great platforms like this and others. So I what I'm seeing is, let me give you a little story. You know, the radio station where you so kindly contribute to, Galaxy FUE, our local mm-hmm. African-centered radio station.
Right.
A few years ago, a young sister came on there, and she was talking all these wonders of this movement called Black Lives Matter. And she was talking how three black women started this movement, and such a great movement it is, and why everybody should be interested. And bearing in mind that I had this advanced information, I was waiting for her to honestly and openly tell the people it's not just a matter that it's three black women, because when these people are ready, they're happy to promote their alternative lifestyles. But so for some convenience, she failed to mention the fact that they were three lesbian women. So, you know, I was listening for about an hour, and I made a phone call into our local African-centered radio station and just tried to contribute and add the information which she failed to admit, that these three black women, not that it's any of my business, but they are three lesbian women. And the first thing she said to me, what does it matter? So I said to her, well, do you know the platform you're on? Do you recognize where you're at? And she said, well, she turned around and said, that's why we don't come on Galaxy FUE. Now, that was an admission that you knew where you were. So
yeah.
You understand. You're uh-huh. right to laugh. Yeah. You're right to laugh. Because I thought to myself, you've just dropped the bomb. Because that is, you're just admitting that you absolutely know where you are. So, you know, then she went on the defensive, saying this and that, the usual, mm-hmm. you know, nonsense. And I found that very shocking. And then the phone just started to ring off the hook. Because mm-hmm. she was deceiving people. That's what she was doing. She was actually deceiving people. And I was, I just found it amazing. So she had an agenda. She knew where she was. She knew it's an African-centered radio station. She knew that we wouldn't accept that agenda, but she hid it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've gone from there to what we see today. And we all know everything which has been said is what's happening. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the privilege to get this advanced information, so they go with the flow. They go along to get along without doing proper due diligence or proper research. So there we are. So they follow, you know, people have a herd mentality. They just follow the herd,
mm-hmm.
And they don't really look into really what's going on. But I want to say this also, yeah, because this is quite a complicated issue, you know. I'm really not for this, this form of attack. I'm not for it at all. But it's more complicated then we're making light of. I mean, if you talk about Angela Davis, for instance, isn't she a lesbian?
What did you say? Angela Davis?
Angela Davis, is she not lesbian?
Yes, yeah, she's a lesbian, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, James Baldwin, he's another gay man.
Yes.
These people were highly respected within the...
Because I will say why, Paul, because they weren't promoting and pushing homosexuality. They were pushing the issues that were happening to African people. Like I'm saying, to me, if you have a sexual preference, that's your damn business. Keep that to yourself. Keep it to yourself. That's your business. What is the main issue, the problems that are affecting African people by a system that promotes racism, that promotes discrimination? You know, these are the things that we have to deal with. I mean, in the African-centered movement for liberation, sovereignty, and so forth, there is no homosexual plank. We don't have an issue with homosexuals and transgender and so forth.
Sorry about that. Listen, man, the thing you're not getting is that their twisted nature and agenda always becomes a part of the equation. Yeah, they should keep it to themselves, but who they are and what they identify always becomes a part of the narrative.
Okay,
let
me say this to you, Jay. I hope you can understand. I'm saying, in the context of what's happening here in America, in the context of seeking equality, in the concept of seeking fairness and justice and all that, yes, but that's not African center. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not African sovereignty.
But it's
that's integration.
It's broader than African sovereignty on the wider picture. Me and you understand that. Our group understands that. But the everyday Negro, he don't understand that. He not thinking about sovereignty. He not thinking about independence. He's thinking about integrating himself into whiteness. And whenever you bring those fractions together, the dominancy of that Freak Nation junk
right.
is going to come out in the play.
There
that's
you
what
go.
You're not getting.
No, I got it. No, Jay, I got it. If that's what we're seeking, I'm saying to you, let me make myself clear to the listeners, and of course, Paul, you as well. I'm saying, has a person who espouses independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, who has a slogan that says Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die, along with those concepts, that's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with anything outside of that. We're not dealing with your sexual preference. We're not dealing whether you need to be transgender or not.
Okay, stop right there for a second, O. Now, if you use that analogy that you just used, and you allow the Monkey Man Twisted Sisters to come within your group, don't you think that they're going to become a dominant force
no.
within the narrative
no.
because that's what
no.
you did with Black Lives Matter.
No.
In the beginning of Black Lives Matter, Jay, there was
Jay, hold up, brother. No, because we're not espousing that. We're talking about liberation. When they use the word liberation in Black Lives Matter, it kind of tripped me up. Because to me, what real liberation is that you want to get out of this system. You want to be liberated from it and all of the evil that it promotes. And part of that evil, as far as I'm concerned, is homosexuality and pedophilia.
Yeah, but in the beginning, this is what you're not getting. In the beginning, there was no upfront agenda or focus in regard to LGBT, homosexuality, or anything. The narrative was police brutality of black folks. They didn't morph it into the homosexual freaking gender.
Because why?
The dominant position.
Listen, Jay.
Identified
Jay.
As homosexual women.
Exactly. Not only because they're homosexual women. I don't think all of them are. I know two of them are. I think one is married. I don't know. I don't care. The bottom line is that when they made it like that, who has a lot of money and influence? The homosexual community. They have a lot of money and influence.
Let me just lead you with this. If you start a movement and there's homosexuals in the movement and homosexuals start having the upfront presence, then it's going to become a damn homosexual leg movement. I'm just telling you.
All right.
History proves it.
All right,
history
bro.
History proves it. If I'm wrong, we discuss it on Wednesday.
Okay.
Hold on. And you know I love you, brother.
You Peace. Too. You too, Jay. Peace to you. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, Brother Ochi, I absolutely understand where you're coming from, but I think there's a lot of truth in what Jay's saying. There's an absolute lot. There's evidence for it. There's a lot of evidence for it as well. You know, and I think, you know, if we look deeper, if we were dealing with our Africanness, yeah, because, you know, I think these people may have existed, but we didn't make them the main subject. But what there is behind it is an agenda. There's an agenda behind it, and that agenda is being pushed. I have to say this. This is a Zionist agenda.
Yeah.
This has all been written in the Protocols of Zion. So there it is.
Right. I wouldn't even say beyond that, but you're right. The Elders of Zion, the Protocols, you know, the Talmud. I agree, man. You know?
And these are the people who have been
that they're funding it. You know, you look at Soros as a European Jew. He's funding Black Lives Matter big.
Other exactly. And we know NAACP and all these organizations where the roots are. Who's funding these historical black colleges? Who's behind them?
Yeah.
Who's infiltrating them and pushing up toward these people? And I think that's what we've got to look at.
Well, we're going to go deeper into this. We'll, you know, have some people on. If you got some people who can speak on this, and Jay, if you have some people, Ralph, you know, let's bring them to the fore, you know? Because my thing is this. I don't care about all those other issues. I'm not down with what's happening. I hate that it has happened. I hate that our people are constantly being dealt with in this way without no real redress. I hate it. But I know that the only way that we're not in this situation is that we get out of it. We get out. There is no reforming this. There is no changing this. It is what it is. And yet we constantly think that, well, maybe now this is going to be some kind of change because what's going on, maybe this is different. We got cops kneeling with protesters. We got folks dancing in the damn street, supposed to be protesting, and they dancing in the damn street. Well, listen, I'm up against the clock. I thank you, Paul, for calling in, brothers, and listening. I thank all those who have and those who just called just to listen. I appreciate that. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahode means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Come back and listen to us on Wednesday. Peace, family.